talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Gotta
cut you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And once again, it's being made in Ukraine from the Russia invasion and in Europe and its reaction. Germany just called Putin's bluff. Germany just called Putin's bluff. Vladimir Putin, the genocidal sadist who attacked Ukraine, is butchering civilians, deliberately bombing food storage so that people starve, including children, issued an order the other day that said that if Europe or anybody wants their oil and gas, they have to pay in rubles. What does that mean? Rubles have been devalued so badly, and they are so universally rejected, that would have to happen is that other countries would have to buy rubles from Russia and give them good currency like dollars and euros. The fact is that Germany and Europe rely on Russian energy for 40% of their natural gas and a lot more of their oil. Poland stood up to Putin by saying they are halting Russian oil imports. They're halting Russian oil imports. They're simply going to be buying elsewhere. Germany pushed back and it said, our contract says that we don't have to pay you in rubles. What they didn't say is your currency is so worthless that trying to come up with that many rubles would give you something that you didn't agree to in this contract. And they started to ration gas in Germany. They put together a plan very quickly. So different industries would get gas supplies at different times. People would get them. One of the good things is we're almost in April. Tomorrow's April 1st. It's getting warmer in Europe. But like the United States, the northern part of the country, like in Wisconsin, it's not super warm. But it's not life-threatening cold like in January and February. And Germany had worked out a way that if Russia turned off the gas, they would be able to certainly get through the rest of the year and then find other sources of supply. Putin backed down. Putin said, well, of course, we're going to do that someday. Just not right away. Because he needs a market. The only export they have that's worth anything, other than sadism and fraud, which is their major export. But the only export they have that anybody is alarmed about, cares about, is energy, gas, and oil. Russia's been described as essentially a gas station. That's all it is. It's not a culture. It's not a country anymore. It's a gas station. You know, I have a better idea, and I don't think that anybody is going to push this. I said it before on the show some days ago. Maybe the United States should be the one that says it because we don't need Russia. We import very little from Russia. Now we're going to import less. And essentially, we're a net exporter. But we could say to Russia, all right, Europe and we will continue to import your fuel. But we're not going to pay you for it. We're going to put it in escrow. And the day you leave Ukraine, and the day you stop murdering people in adjacent countries and killing civilians, and you sign a peace treaty with Ukraine that's lasting and guaranteed, we will then release the money to you. Now, you might think, just listening to what I just said, you might think, hey, come on, Matt. Come on, Matt, what, are you going to go to the grocery store and tell the guy, I want you to give me groceries for a year and I'll put the money in escrow? He just won't give them to you. Or gasoline at the gas station, they just won't give it to you. Here's the difference. It has to do with the technology of extracting oil and gas. When you set up an oil and gas operation, remember something too. Russia depends heavily on foreign technicians. There's an amazing amount of things they don't know how to do for themselves. So like the Taliban can't even maintain a truck, much less a tank. And if you give them a truck or a tank in a week, they won't be able to use it anymore because of sand blowing and they don't know how to maintain it. Well, Russia, at a more sophisticated level, is very similar. When you drill an oil well or you get natural gas, it is very expensive and damaging to your product, to your asset, to shut it down and then start it up again, and shut it down and then start it up again. It benefits you to keep it in perpetual motion. It's in perpetual usage. It benefits Russia to do it. If Russia said, no, we're going to stop supplying Europe or anywhere else, and we hope the Chinese take some of it, and we hope somebody else takes some of it, but by and large, we're going to reduce production, that will have devastating consequences to Russia. It'll have devastating consequences to the integrity of their asset, of their oil wells. And it's not the dumbest thing in the world to say to them, you want to keep it going. We want you to keep it going because one day we hope you'll be a democracy again and not a murderous Nazi state. You wouldn't say that, of course. I mean, that's what the reason is for what you do. And you say, so we're willing to continue to take it, and we're willing to put it in a ledger and put it in escrow. And when you get out of Ukraine, sign a peace agreement, and presumably Vladimir Putin is either dead or out of power, you'll get that money. You give them incentive to do all that. Now, one of the things they could say is, well, you know, we had $350 billion on deposit with you that we had squirreled away to beat your sanctions. Remember, they had a total of about 650 or 700 billion they'd squirreled away to survive the sanctions. And unfortunately for them, half of it is in bank accounts in New York, Frankfurt, and London. And Germany, the United States, and the UK said, we're freezing that money. You're not getting that money until you get out of Ukraine. And Sergei Lavrov, their foreign minister, who's also an oligarch, by the way, gave a speech, thought it was private. It was up in Siberia somewhere. It's theft, he said. He complained it was theft. Well, what do you think they're doing in Ukraine? Stealing the whole country, stealing people's lives. That's what they're doing in Ukraine. Well, they may say, well, this time around, how do we know you'll give it back? You just stole the other 350. And the response to that is obvious. The response to that is, we didn't steal anything. You'll get the $350 billion we're holding and money for your oil and gas when you get out of Ukraine, they sign a peace agreement, respect their borders, promise not to go in anymore, and Europe and the United States will guarantee defense of Ukraine if, in fact, you do go in and you get another Nazi nut like Putin in there. You obviously wouldn't say it quite that way. And then they have to make a decision. They have to make a decision. Are we going to shut down oil wells and gas production? The damage to the infrastructure is enormous. No Western technicians are going to come in and help us clean this up. Or are we going to keep it running? Now, that's pie in the sky. I'm throwing that out. I don't expect anybody to take us up on it, but Germany has done something fairly close. Germany said to Putin, that's a violation of the contract. We're not paying you in rubles because rubles are worthless and nobody can find them. And you can't buy enough rubles. The amount of money we'd have to pay for rubles is far more than we'd pay just directly in euros. So the answer is no. And Putin said, okay, the hell with you. Germany said, fine. And they started to ration natural gas. And then Putin realized, their systems were going to go down. Their systems were going to go down. And by the way, this Sergey Lavrov, this clown, he's their foreign minister. And you saw him a lot. He's very close to Trump. Putin is the closest to Trump. But Sergey Lavrov was a guest in the White House when no Americans were permitted. Our Secretary of State wasn't permitted when Trump was president, and Sergey Lavrov was there. And Lavrov took Trump to the cleaners. He could walk around, you know, Mr. Trump, where's the restroom? Oh, down the hall. Nobody follows the guy? Does he slip something along one of the baseboards? A listening device? I assume they sweep after the Russians come in. But there are no escorts. And on one occasion, Trump didn't even use an interpreter. He just used their interpreter. There were no notes to the meeting. I don't know what they talked about. But I know this. I know that it wasn't good for the United States. And I also know this. It was probably good for Russia. So Sergey Lavrov, he's a war criminal just like Putin. But hats off to Poland and Germany for standing up to Vladimir Putin. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.